are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Zamile Malinote. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Thank you, Mfundisi. Are you well?
I am well. I can't complain. The Lord has been good.
Indeed, the Lord has been good. Happy Friday to you. By the way, it's a preparation day. Looking forward to the Sabbath. I hope that you are going to have a fantastic one.
Yes, yes, we are looking forward to the Sabbath.
Mm.
We can rest from from the hectic week. Yes,
from a busy, busy, busy week. Mm. Now, let's conclude our discussion today that we started on Monday. It's been a fantastic one, by the way, and I do want to say thank you so much for making time for us and the listeners out there. So we can literally go on and on, but for a lifetime, really learning about striving for excellence and what excellence requires of us. But unfortunately, we've got to end it at some point, and we've come now to the final day where we are actually concluding our lessons. And one thing that can be a hindrance in achieving one's goals and living one's best life is low self-esteem and negative self-talk. Now, how does one overcome such? Did anyone in the Bible experience this? And this is what we like to talk about. I was actually saying to someone, I think some 2 weeks ago, Muruti, they were saying, "Hey, me, really, I'm just not going to be able to achieve this and this." And I thought to myself, this self-talk is actually quite limiting. Please do talk to us about negative self-talk and also low self-esteem as far as it concerns excellence.
Yeah, this is a very tricky one. As I was looking at it, I was like, okay, fine. I think I've presented on negative self-talk before and low self-esteem. We have those situations, but I want to say also that when we have negative self-talk, we are in good company, because sometimes negative self-talk, what we call negative self-talk, can be a true reflection of where we are.
Mm.
Because I believe if we want to achieve excellence, we shouldn't deceive ourselves and think that we are better than we are. So a true and accurate reflection of where we currently are is helpful for us to start where we're supposed to start. I want to say we are in good company, because Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, "I am a man of unclean lips, living among men of unclean lips." And that was a true state of his condition. And it means we must recognize that we are sinners, or, there's some weakness or shortcoming that we need to deal with before we can excel. Sometimes it's true. Isaiah said that. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, "Ah, O Lord," when he is called, "Ah, O Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a youth." King Saul, the first king of Israel, he hid himself before his coronation. It's 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 21 to 22. King Solomon, the wisest man that has ever lived, before he was given wisdom, he did an accurate reflection of himself. And he says, "Lord, look, you had given my father, King David, favor because he lived, he was upright, he was faithful, he was righteous. But now you have chosen me in his position, but I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." It's a true reflection of his state. And in order for us to receive from God, sometimes we need to be accurate with our condition. Gideon says, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And there's Moses also, who gives five big excuses. He says, "Who am I?" when God calls him. And then God says to him, "Regardless of who you are, I will be with you." And then he says, "But those people are going to say, 'Who are you?' And then, 'Who am I going to say you are?' And then God says, 'Go tell them that I am that I am.'" And then Moses continues to say, "What if they don't believe me?" And then God says, "What do you have in your hand?" So God is not asking us to bring something that we do not have. He simply says, "What do you have in your hand?" And Moses says, "I have a rod." God uses that rod to perform miracles so that people can have confidence in Moses. But Moses doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
Ooh, the poor connection.
I can hear you. We can hear you loud and clear, Mfundis. Pastor, we can hear you loud and clear. Ooh, I think the connection. Mfundis. Muruti.
Hey,
We can hear you.
Oh, all right. So I'm saying, yeah, Moses doesn't stop there. He continues to say, I am not eloquent. That means I'm slow of speech, you know. And God says, who has created man's mouth? You know, for all his excuses, God comes with a solution. And then finally, Moses says, send someone else. You know, now this was no longer humility. This was rebellion. This was disobedience. And then God reacts with anger. So I'm saying, even with the best leaders in the Bible, the best prophets, the best kings, there was at some point a state of doubt. It can be out of humility, it can be out of fear, and then I will come to that. So I'm saying if it's out of humility, God will respond and he will help us, he will counsel us, he will give us confidence and courage, because now we are going to do his job. He's going to give us resources and strength and courage in order to be able to fulfill his mission. But I want to come to negative self-talk. Now this we find in Numbers chapter 13.
Okay.
Where Moses had sent 12 spies to go and spy the Canaan land. And when they come back, there are two who give a minority positive report. And there are 10 who give a majority negative report. Now, all these people were leaders of their own tribes. They were chosen and they were sent to Canaan. They spied the same land. They saw the same people. And the interesting thing is that when they went back after 40 days, they carried a cluster of grapes, and it needed to be carried by two men. They are taking evidence back to the children of Israel. And, you know, when they get back, they say, yes, it is true that the land that we have spied is a land that flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. You know, good evidence. But then they continue to say, but hey, we met giants there. The descendants of Anak are there. And they continue to say the land eats its own inhabitants. Now they are giving contradictory evidence. So because first of all, when you say the land eats its own inhabitants, you are suggesting that there is famine, there is drought, and people are dying there of hunger and starvation. But that was not true, because we have just presented grapes and pomegranates and figs that were so big that they needed to be carried by two people.
Yeah.
Now, Caleb says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. That's Caleb and Joshua. They are positive. But now the 10 says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 31, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. This is negative self-talk. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its own inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are of great stature. Now, this is the strange part. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And this is where the problem is. The grasshopper complex. Grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. You see, if you say we were like they we looked like grasshoppers to them, it's something else. You know, it's like when Goliath looks at David and he says, am I a dead dog that you should you know, send this little boy to me? You know, that's how Goliath perceives David. But if David were to see himself also as a little dog, that's the problem. So the problem here is that these 10 spies are saying we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And this is where the problem of low self-esteem is, because they are looking at themselves and they are not looking at the God who had sent them to the mission. Caleb says, let us go up at once, because he knows that regardless of the giants that they are going to face, God is bigger than those giants. And the descendants of Anak, remember, as we fast forward now, King David faced a descendant of Anak. And he didn't have the negative self-talk that these 10 spies had. In fact, David, before he faces Goliath, he has four conversations, and Goliath was the fifth. First of all, David says, what am I going to receive? What is the man who can kill this Philistine receive? They said the king has promised him riches and he's going to get the king's wife. Now, first of all, I want to say, let us fight the battles worth fighting. Let us not fight trivial battles where we're not even going to benefit. David wanted to know, first of all, what is the benefit before we can engage? When they said there's a wife which is the king's daughter and riches are involved, then he knows it's worth fighting. Then his brother Eliab comes and he says, you, David, I know you are naughty. Why did you leave the sheep Why are you here? And David says, no, but there's a cause. I'm here for a reason. Can't you see this man? He's intimidating the armies of Israel. That's the second conversation that David has. And after that, he goes back to the people. He asks again, what is the man going to receive? Who is able to fight and defeat this man? And the same answer is the daughter, the king's daughter, and riches. And now he's taken to King Saul. King Saul says, look, David, you are too young. You are not able to go against that giant, for you are but a youth. And he was a man, he's a man of war from his youth. That's verse 33 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. See, this is negative talk now from other people. But David says, no, I have killed a lion and a bear with my own hands. And I will do the same to this uncircumcised giant. And eventually, King Saul agrees for David to go, but he gives David his own armor. And David cannot use that armor. And it says, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And I want to say to young people today, sometimes the reason we fail is because we want to use people's methods, people's equipment, you know, people's ideas and thoughts that we have never tried. We are young people for a reason. And, you know, technology has changed. The world has changed. There are ways of doing things now that older people are not familiar with. And God wants us to use our skills and our advantages. You know, sometimes our disadvantages can be our advantages because now the giant was expecting someone who's going to come in front of him and fight in physical combat. But David's innovative and creative skills ensure that he fights from a distance, so that even though he's young and he's agile and he's fast, his youth does not disadvantage him. It actually gives him an advantage. And he says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a javelin, and with a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. And today I'm going to defeat you. So, you know, David did not have negative self-talk. And even when other people who were important, I mean, his own brothers said, what are you doing here? Even the king himself, he says, you are not able to go against this Philistine. You know, but he was confident because he knew that he was not going alone. The very God who had helped him to defeat a bear and a lion was going to be with him to fight the Philistine giant Goliath. And he kills Goliath because Goliath's head was too big. Some people would have said, hey, this man's head is too big. We cannot fight against him. But David sees an opportunity. His head is too big. So it's too big to miss. I cannot miss. And for sure, he shot only once and he hit the target. And so our advantages can be our disadvantages sometimes, but also our disadvantages can be our advantages. So let us focus on God, because with God on our side, we can say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, the strength that we can find from the Bible in spite of the negatives that we may feel. Let us find our strength in God. And maybe to wrap up, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So this spirit is the one who will activate and stimulate the gift that God has deposited within us. So we need not fear, but we need to be confident that God will use this gift for his own purposes, to save souls, to benefit people, to add value, and to make a difference. But I just wanted to clarify that sometimes, yes, we need to be honest with ourselves and let us not be too overconfident and exaggerate our abilities and our strength, because that will mislead us. You know, I can quote also in the Bible, people who are too overconfident and they lost battles because they were too overconfident. We can talk about Joshua, who won many battles, but he lost against Ai because he sent 3,000 people there. He said, Ai is a small nation. Just go and fight them without even consulting God. They lost that battle. They were embarrassed and humiliated. And after that, they consulted God. You know, I can talk about so many in the Bible who went to fight. Even the tribes of Israel in Judges chapter 20 and 21, they fight against the tribe of Benjamin, being over 400,000. They lose to the tribe of Benjamin being only 26,000. Why? Because they have not consulted God. And so overconfidence and deceiving ourselves and hyping ourselves up with motivational speeches and inspiration that I can do it, I can do it. Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
But have a proper and accurate assessment of yourself right now as you are. You know, I can say I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and I go to run to enter the Soweto marathon. You will die on the road. We've seen people die running the Comrades Marathon. True. Even Adventists. No, let me not go there because someone will say I'm insensitive. People die because they are not ready. So no matter how much you hype up yourself with inspirational and motivational talk and positive self-talk, affirmative self-talk, if you have incorrectly evaluated and assessed your present condition, then you are not doing justice to yourself. You will kill yourself.
Wow. Quite a mouthful, Pastor, and I do want to thank you so much. Now we're concluding the week, and we've spoken from Monday about excellence. We looked at what it is, and we dissected every angle about excellence. Now the week is coming to an end, and someone out there is looking at this and has taken notes and now wanting to implement what you have taught us this particular week. What are, takeaway home areas, you know, some points where we can say, okay, here's a scaffolding that I'm going to take forward with as I go to 2024, just as we wrap up.
Yeah, just as we wrap up,
oh, Pastor, can you hear me? Hello? Muruti? Pastor Maluleka? Hello? Oh, man. What happened there? It is now... can you hear me?
I practice persistence. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great.
So I'm saying, yes, let identify your spiritual gifts. When you have done that, set very high standards. Practice intentionally and deliberately. Don't give up. Be persistent and determined in spite of disappointments and failure and challenges. And make God your ally. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. And let us also pray for a multiple portion of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who will enable us and empower us, enlighten us, to be able to do God's work, because Daniel was full of the spirit of excellence, which is really the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. You know, it's not only counsel, there's also might, power, and strength. Also the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And we know that knowledge is the key to success. It is the Holy Spirit that will empower us. So above everything, let us pray for a multiple portion of the Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us, to enlighten us, and to guide us to do God's work. And we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for this week, and thank you so much for so eloquently explained and unpacked the subject of excellence. I do pray that the Most High grants you the choicest blessings of heaven. And as you, you also press towards 2024, may some of the items we looked at here be applied in your life as we apply them in our lives as well. Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. May the Lord bless you too with the show and with the audience as well. Have a good day and happy Sabbath in advance.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.